All right, if you'll open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, I need about, thank you, Robert, three guys to help me, and you'd be one of them, Robert. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Cliffy. Thank you, Jim. I think I must have preached too much on the devil this morning and I scared a few people. I don't know. The devil came back. Hey, you don't have to comfort him. He knows. He knows the truth. All right, chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Before we do this, I want to mention we do have a visiting family tonight, Nina, and Angelo, I'm assuming husband and wife, I hope. Salvador, and they are from the Beach Park area. And I think Nina said she's from Tacloban in Leyte. I know where everybody knows where that is. But welcome, and you can call me Lagos, okay? Just means old man, that's all it means. All right, let's stand, please. Nina knows what Lagos means. By the way, Nina, does your husband know what this phrase means? And forgive the pronunciation, okay? Hinigugma koikau. Does he? You better learn what that means, buddy. That's rather important. She might like to hear you say that. All right. I don't know what it means, but it sounds nice. It has nothing to do with the cow, okay? Nothing to do with the cow. I think it's something like, you know, how much you love someone and what I. There you go. You guys are going to get in trouble over there. It's Mary. All right, let's see if we can get our attention back. Here's my introduction to the sermon tonight. Are you ready? For all of you that know our school, who teaches the most advanced levels of math? Yeah, she teaches math that no man can teach. So I have a question. Do you think that Mrs. Hall teaches her students 1 plus 1? You don't think she do you ever teach them? You feel like you need to teach them sometimes. Do you think Mrs. Hall teaches them multiplication tables? Mrs. Lex does that. I think Emily Tupper does that too, I would think. By the way, none of you have a clue why I'm asking this question, do you? Wait in the sermon. We're going to talk tonight about the future of Israel as a nation in what we call the millennium. We're going to speak broadly to prophecy, but look at me. The question I just asked, if some of you can get that in your mind and quit messing around, it'll actually help you because Mrs. Hall never teaches basic math. What does Mrs. Hall do with basic math? She assumes the students know basic math. We'll go someplace with that later. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. So the former treatise, of course, was the Gospel of Luke. And when Luke was, you know, when the Lord Jesus, of course, was crucified and resurrected, then there's the part 2, which is called the book of Acts. Until the day in the which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto whom? The apostles whom he had chosen. So my friend, Christianity was never built upon your feelings, experiences, and emotions. It was built on the Old Testament, what Jesus said and did, and that group of men that he chose to reveal new truth to. Three parts: Old Testament, Jesus, the apostles. Verse 3. To whom, meaning to that group of apostles, and a few others at times. Also, he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering, by many infallible truths, being seen of them, or by them, 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to. So after the, look at me, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, before Jesus ascended back to the Father, for around 40 days, not straight 40 days, but around 40 days, here, there, and yon, Jesus took that same group of men, pulled them aside, and he instructed them very specifically in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. Would the apostles at this stage, after 40 days of Jesus particularly teaching about the kingdom of God, do you think they would have learned something? Well, either they were the most idiotic group of people who ever breathed, or Jesus was the worst teacher who ever lived. I think you would learn something if Jesus pulled you aside, hit you upside the head, and said, it's time to learn about the kingdom of God. All right, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The great question. He's been teaching for 40 days about the kingdom of God, and they say, when is it that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel, like the Old Testament promised over and over and over? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, meaning the times or the seasons when this is going to happen, which the Father hath put in his own power, under his own authority. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Tonight, I'm just going to start at the very beginning of this. Look at me. If you actually listen, I will undo something that will cause you to stumble in your thinking the rest of your life, or you'll figure it out. Because when we talk about the kingdom of Israel, there are two basic broad views. One view, premillennialism, that's our church, teaches this. In the future, the rapture is going to happen. God's church is going to be caught up to be with the Lord. And the beginning of the tribulation occurs. God then works through the Jews again for 7 years, horrible period of time. At the end of that 7 years, Christ returns in glory to establish his kingdom on earth, called the millennium. Yes? The other view is all of this is just spiritual language. Israel doesn't mean Israel. Jerusalem doesn't mean Jerusalem. The land doesn't mean the land. All of this just means heaven and the church. You can't have it both ways. Now, friend, if you're a newer Christian tonight, I'm going to try to nail some things down where you can begin to think about some of this. It won't answer every question. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I ask your blessing now on this night. May this be a helpful night as we just kind of big picture some ideas about what's going to happen in the future. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you have notes, and I'm assuming you do, let's begin. What do we learn from this text? Assuming that you listen to my question, does Mrs. Hall teach 1 + 1 = 2. Yes or no? Does she teach the multiplication tables? She instead what? Assumes that every person that gets to algebra 2, do you do algebra 1 also, sister? You do algebra 2 and then math that no human can know. That's where she begins, and physics and chemistry and all kinds of wonderful classes. Well, this is what this text begins with. Number one in your notes, and the first point is filled out. The kingdom will be restored to Israel. It's assumed in the text. When the disciples come to Jesus, or this group of apostles, look at me, that had been listening to Jesus for 40 days. He's getting ready to leave. They ask him a simple question. We understand what you've been teaching. But what we want to know is not if this is going to happen. We want to know this. When is this going to happen? assuming the kingdom will be restored to Israel. That is the assumption in the text. We'll come back to verses 1, 2, and 3 in a little bit. How do we know this? Well, in your notes, the first way we know this is this. This is what the Old Testament teaches. And I don't want to bore you with overs, but if you start reading Isaiah, the prophets, look at me, you start reading the prophets, you're going to read this over and over and over and over to the place you'll get tired of hearing about this kingdom. And yet, I hold in my hand a commentary on the book of Micah by Bruce Waltke. Bruce Waltke taught at Dallas Seminary until they fired him because he figured out that none of the prophecies were real. He's not abnormal. This is amillennialism. So we're going to read a few verses. We'll come back to Waltke. By the way, I actually want you to leave here tonight and understand what it means to be premillennial and why we are. In your notes, we won't read every single one of these prophecies. I put a bunch of them in here. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and what? No, that's the church. See, you just don't know how to read the Bible. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the what? You say, when is that going to happen? Do you remember Hosea? Everybody remembers Hosea chapter 2. Former days, many days, last days. We don't know when this is going to happen. We're in this many day period. But somewhere down the road, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. It's using symbolic language. It's saying the little bitty nation Israel will be the center of the world and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Otherwise, today in the world, every nation to some degree has to look at America because we are the dominant nation. China and Russia are back a few steps. But you, if you're a small country, in that day, every nation on earth is going to look to this little bitty place in the Middle East. It's about that big. About the size of Cook County, maybe Lake County. That's it. Little bitty place. You say, why is that important? Because God says, in the latter days, that's the center of all activity. And every nation is going to look that direction. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. And many people shall say, go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, peoples, people groups. He, meaning Christ, the Messiah, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. My friend, we have been looking for a time of universal peace. World War I, our president, Wilson, said he wanted to have, you know, to start the, what wasn't United Nations, what was it then? League of Nations. They wanted to have peace. That gave us a lot of peace, didn't it? At the end of World War II, after another horrific war, we started the United Nations. We're trying to find peace, by the way. In that day, when Christ returns, establishes his kingdom in Jerusalem over all the world, there will be peace. Oh, yes. Now, turn your Bibles to Micah. I don't have room to put it in here, and we're not going to read all these verses tonight. Micah chapter 4. Everybody find Micah chapter 4. If you don't know where Micah is, friend, if you don't know where a book is in the Old Testament, assume it's one of the 12. You know what I mean by the 12? The last 12 small books? If you assume that, you're in pretty good order. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the what days? It shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above all the hills, and the people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us... Does this sound familiar to you? Did the record get stuck? But half of you don't know what records are and what it means to get stuck. What's going on here? Look at verse 3. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. But my friend, look up here, please. There's two different broad views. There's one view that says this: these prophecies in the Old Testament are going to happen. One day there's going to be a kingdom in Jerusalem, not a kingdom of Ralph Warren or white people, not a kingdom of black people. It's going to be a kingdom of King Jesus. And he's going to rule and reign over this whole earth for 1,000 years. But according to Mr. Waltke, I'll read you just a little bit, and very little, because this requires thinking. He says, before the expositing the prophecy in more detail, I want to lay down a few rules. He says, I reach these conclusions after years of research and teaching. First, according to the New Testament, these prophecies about God's golden future find fulfillment in Christ and the church. Did any of you read the word church in any prophecy? Yes or no? They talk about Jerusalem. Yes. Israel. By the way, they talk about nations, different ethnic groups coming to Jerusalem. Well, he goes on. I won't read you all this because he's pretty sophisticated. He says, we're moving from an earthly physical body to a heavenly spiritual body. The earthly material symbols were done away, and the spiritual reality portrayed by the symbols superseded the earthly shadows. Micah does not have in view a universal carnal kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, heaven. I thought it said Jerusalem. And he just does this over. I won't read it. By the way, it gets me so inflamed when I read this stuff. So I come to you, and I say, Cliffy, you are a Jewish person way back there with Abraham. You're Abraham's son. And I say, I promise you that in your seed, remember it says this to Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I also promise you this land for how long? Forever. But God changed his mind on the land. The land kind of disappears. It becomes some heavenly place. Look at me, friend. It's either all true or it's not true at all. You can't pick and choose from Scripture. And Scripture universally in the Old Testament points forward to a day in the future with a restored Israel. Well, let's look in your notes. I think I have Amos 9 in there, don't I? We'll read one more passage. Amos 9. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. My friend, there hasn't been a Davidic king on the throne of Israel since 586 BC, 2,600 years. But in that day, there's going to be a person ruling and reigning from Jerusalem on the Davidic throne. Well, according to Scripture. He says, I'm going to close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as it in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Eden and all the heathen or the nations, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that does this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inherit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. How do we know there's going to be a future nation for Israel, a kingdom? This is what the Old Testament says over and over and over and over. We don't have time to read any more text. I just put a selection in there. Number two, not only is this what the Old Testament says, this is what Jesus taught. This is what Jesus taught. Now, please look at me. This is not what Jesus taught on every page of the Gospels. Why not? When Jesus taught, are you ready? Are you ready for the insight? He assumed you knew there was a thing called the Old Testament. And since the Old Testament had already said this over and over and over and over and over and over and over, he didn't assume you needed to go back when you get to Algebra 2 and say, Mrs. Hall spends 4 weeks teaching 1 plus 1. In 4 more weeks, multiplication tables. She assumes the lower grades have taught that. Yes or no? So my friend, when you go into the Gospels, Jesus doesn't repeat everything. He also doesn't rewrite the book of Job. He assumes you know there's a book called Job. He doesn't tell the creation story. He assumes you know there's a book called Genesis that tells the creation story. The New Testament assumes you've read the Old Testament and you believe it. So no, he doesn't talk about this on every page. Why would he? The New Testament doesn't repeat the Old Testament, it assumes it. The New Testament doesn't repeat the Old Testament, it... You might want to write this down. It's not in your notes. You might want to write it down for you. The New Testament does not repeat the Old Testament, it... It just assumes it. Of course. My goodness, friend, how would you ever teach anything if every time you got up to teach, you had to teach everything you had taught before? So the New Testament assumes the Old Testament and it assumes you know it. But sometimes the Lord does deal very directly with this issue. Matthew 19, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration. Regeneration means the making of all things new. When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. By the way, that kind of sounds like Isaiah. That kind of sounds like Micah. You also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging what? Yeah, but they don't like tribes of Israel, so that becomes the church too. Everything that says Israel becomes the church, that's the lie. No, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Luke 22 says something similar. He says in Luke 22:28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So my friend, this is what the Old Testament taught. This is what Jesus taught, but he didn't repeat the Old Testament. Why would he need to? Number three, this is what the apostles slash disciples, and I don't want to get mixed up on the words. We're talking specifically about a small group of apostles, but we can call them disciples also. This is what they understood. But this is where the attack happens. Please look at me. Yesterday I read Robert Raymond. You don't know who Robert Raymond is? I hope he's in heaven now. Robert Raymond, Presbyterian, said, nope, all this stuff is about the church. And he said, he called these apostles when they asked the question, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said these were uninspired apostles. They didn't know what they were talking about. Now, by the way, I'm not just going to laugh at that. I'm going to have you disprove that from the scripture. Because the attack is always right here. They say, this is Jesus didn't say the kingdom was coming. The apostles did, and they were uninspired. So we're going to kind of analyze that from text, if you don't mind. I hope you don't mind. In your notes, I say this is where the attack is. People will say this. This is the apostles' misunderstanding. If they're even more crude, they will say this is a Jewish misunderstanding. Like to be Jewish is less than being human. I want everyone to look at me. Now, we got folks here. I'm very happy you folks are here tonight. You don't have to be used to me, but I'm going to say this. Christians have persecuted Jews all over the world. Do you know why? Because they make Jesus out to be what they look like, and Jesus wasn't white, he wasn't black, he wasn't Filipino, he was Jewish. But it's okay to kill a few Jews. I'm going to say something to you that most of you will not understand unless you actually interact with Jewish people. You put your hand in a Jewish person's hand, you shake hand with them, and you say, whatever you talk to them about, 5 years later after that conversation, you've been a friend to them every day, and they know you're a Baptist. But you know what they think a Baptist is? Another form of Catholic. Because to the Jewish people, everybody's Catholic and Orthodox, and no matter what you call yourself, you hate Jews. Because, look at me, if God is done with Israel, then it's okay to kill them. By the way, the Holocaust, 6 million Jews died, was not the first time this happened. It had been happening in Russia and Ukraine for centuries. Because it's okay to kill Jews. It's okay to run Jews. Because Jesus was white like me, right? I bet he had blue eyes. Hey, I've seen pictures of Jesus with blue eyes. Anything but Jewish. By the way, friend, the whole Old Testament and the New Testament, most of it's written by Jewish people. I mean, Jesus fulfilled Jewish scripture. When you say, how do we get saved? Because the promises made to Abraham by the grace of God, God allows us to partake of those promises to Abraham. And in his seed, the Messiah Jesus, all nations, all the ethnic groups, including me, we're all blessed through him. Oh, my goodness. Back in your notes. So are you, by the way, you better be very careful when you start seeing people slander Jewish people. God says he will bless those who bless the Jews, and he will curse those who curse the Jews. Wow. Your prejudice is showing. No, my Bible is showing. I don't reinterpret what the Bible says. And by the way, to an amillennial person, this is what this means. Yes, God's going to curse those who curse the Jews, the church. And he's going to bless those who bless the church. What? Look in your notes. No, I say this. This was the apostles' understanding. First of all, given by or through the Holy Spirit. How do I know this information was given by or through the Holy Spirit? Because I actually had the audacity to read the first few verses. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, Jesus, through the what? Had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So to say these was a Jewish misunderstanding, or the apostles didn't understand this, my friend, the apostles are part of the foundation of the church. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. This group of men whom Jesus chose, he chose to reveal truth to them by means of the Holy Spirit, which is the very definition of inspiration. Next, this was not only given by or through the Holy Spirit, this was given from Jesus himself. It's what he says. Back up in verse 1, verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, meaning Jesus, through the Holy Ghost. So that their understanding was given by or through the Holy Spirit from Jesus himself. And lastly, it was given over a 40-day time span. When Jesus pulled them aside and personally instructed them. Uh-oh, look at me. All my amillennial friends that talk about this is a Jewish misunderstanding, or the apostles didn't know what they were talking about, well, we got a problem because the book of Acts says this came by means of the Holy Spirit from Jesus over a 40-day period, so they're still talking to Jesus, he's still giving them information, and I'm sorry to say, friend, they weren't misunderstanding what Jesus was saying. Next page, please. Number four, this is how we know the kingdom will be restored to Israel. And friend, this is not lightweight tonight. Tonight is not Sunday school. Number four, this was not corrected or contradicted by Jesus. This was not corrected or contradicted by Jesus. So when the apostles, look up here, when the apostles came to Jesus and they said, when are you going to restore the kingdom? When is the kingdom going to be restored to Israel? Jesus didn't say, oh, wait a minute. We're not restoring. What are you talking about? Haven't you read Bruce Waltke? Don't you know that this isn't going to happen? Don't you know that the kingdom is not going to be for Israel? The kingdom is going to be for the church. Jesus never corrected them. Look at me, friend. You come to me next Sunday, Mother's Day. So what you're going to do if your mother's still alive, most of us that are normal humans are going to try to at least do something for mom. Yes? Give her a call. I see Ralph looking at Luke. Luke? Yeah, what's for breakfast, Mom? Luke, we'll let you slide for a few more years, but buddy, when you get to be a certain age, if you don't take care of your mother, it's death all over. Because the highest commandment in this church is thou shalt take care of your mom. Yes? By the way, any mother that's taking care of us miserable individuals deserves to be taken care of. Yes? I don't know. Luke got me lost. I don't know what I was going to say now. Next Sunday morning, Amy was saying today, what are we going to do for Mom for Mother's Day? And I didn't say, we're not doing anything for Mother's Day. I didn't correct her. Of course, Amy's doing something for Mother's Day. We're hoping she takes us out for steak and that fathers get to go along for the mothers. I'm thinking she's going to take me and drop me off at McDonald's and Mom is going for steak. By the way, friend, they ask a question, and guess what? Jesus didn't correct them because he'd just been talking to them about the kingdom for 40 days. So there was no correction here. If they were wrong in their question, Jesus would say, wait a minute, you're missing the point, guys, I think. Number five, this is also how the Bible concludes. The Bible concludes with Israel. In the new heaven, my friend, it says, and this new heaven had a great wall and high and had 12 gates. And you know what 12 means? Yeah, it had 12. And the gates 12, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the what? No, that means the church, folks. You didn't know that meant the church? No, I'm thinking it's probably the 12 tribes of Israel. By the way, this is how the Old Testament began. This is what Jesus taught. This is what the apostles understood, having learned from Jesus by means of the Spirit for 40 days. Jesus never corrected them. And not only that, when you go to the last part of the Bible, and I don't have it in here, we don't have time. By the way, Revelation 19 and 20 talk about his coming in glory to establish the millennium, his kingdom. This is from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But of course, we have ways of manipulating the Bible if we have opportunity. Number two, obviously when they asked this question, and I'm going to have to be quick and have to be very gentle on this one because this gets too heavy. The kingdom had not yet been restored to Israel. There are people that say this, yes, there is a kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. You say, what does spiritual mean? For them, it means nothing. It's spiritual. When they came to Jesus, there's one thing they knew. Jesus had died. He had died for our sins. He had been buried. He had been resurrected. And they got that. They're wondering what? When's the kingdom coming? And they recognized the kingdom was not here yet. Now, the kingdom of God, boy, this is going to be quick. We're not reading any of these verses. The kingdom of God is used in the Bible about five ways in your notes. I'm not going to explain them. I'm just going to enunciate them tonight. God has always been sovereign. Sometimes in the Bible, the kingdom of God simply means God's sovereignty. They weren't wondering, when's God going to start being sovereign over everything? The Lord hath prepared his kingdom, his throne in the heavens. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. That's the sovereignty of God. And by the way, they weren't wondering, they knew that God was sovereign. Yes? Sometimes the kingdom of God means salvation. So I have off to the right. Salvation was always present. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, in various ways, it describes someone coming to Christ. So they weren't thinking, oh, you mean salvation's going to begin now? No, people were saved in the Old Testament. They were saved in the ministry of Jesus. They're saved after the ministry of Jesus. Nothing new there. How about this? Heaven. Sometimes, a few times, the kingdom of God is referring to heaven. But heaven had always been our home. So there was nothing new there. They knew, over to the right, the kingdom was not and is not yet restored. And they're wondering what's going on. My friend, I don't have time to explain this, but I will say this. Everyone look at me. And by the way, this is way too much information on a Sunday night. When Jesus came the first time, the Jewish people rejected the Messiah. When they rejected the Messiah, God wasn't wondering what was going on. God always had this planned. This was part of God's sovereign plan. But when they rejected Christ, they not only lost Christ, they also lost the kingdom, the messianic kingdom. And the messianic kingdom is future. That's what will be restored at the end of the tribulation. Between now and then, Matthew 13 talks about a mystery form of the kingdom. What is the mystery form of the kingdom? Between Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and his messianic kingdom starting in the end of the tribulation period, between that time, it's a period of time of sowing. You ever heard of those? Sower went forth to sow. It's a time of infiltration. It's a time of faking. It has seven different parables that describe this period of time. But this is not the messianic kingdom. This is not God's sovereignty over all things. This is not us going to heaven. This is not salvation being offered to us. No, this is today is a mystery form of the kingdom where we have to do certain things and we wait to the day when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom. Number three, the time or timing of the restoration was the only question. The only question the disciples had, and the only thing that was significant, was the timing of this restoration. We're going to read a passage. Let's do it together. Read with me, starting in Psalm 89. By the way, friend, I don't know if you've ever read this. Please look at me. I would recommend that you do this. You get alone. Turn your nonsense off. Look at me. Get alone and read this like a Jewish believer would read it. Hey, read it like you would think about someone that just lost their child. Read with me. We're just going to read a portion. The whole psalm needs to be read. Nevertheless, God says, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Take a little breather and think. Then all of a sudden the people say, thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges of protection. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou, Lord, hast made all of his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of the sword and hast not made him to stand up in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened? Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord? Hey, look at me. The Jewish people for 2,600 years have been persecuted all over the world. In 1948, a small group of Jewish people returned to Israel. Before they got there, it was a wasteland. People, nobody wanted it. Within a generation, they said the whole nation bloomed. It's one of the most beautiful countries in the Middle East. Yet it's the same land, desert. You say, why? Because the first stage of God's restoration of the Jews has happened. In the future will be the second restoration when they have their Messiah. The psalmist says, how long will thou hide thyself forever? Lord, you promised, and we don't have a king. When I hear some pervert say, that's just the apostles' misunderstanding, I think about the Jewish believers that have for centuries prayed this prayer, asking God, how long is this going to last? By the way, friend, that makes it a little bit more in your life. How much longer can the pain go on? Will thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindness, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Sparky, excuse me, Miss Debelak, this lovely lady in the back. I don't know how she contacted some people, but she contacted some people in two Fridays ago, we had a lady that was a Jewish lady, a survivor of the Holocaust. She was not in an extermination camp. She was in a slave labor camp. She would have been exterminated if they had had enough time. She survived. Look at me. Don't you ever come to me and say God doesn't care about Jewish people. When pig Christians, calling themselves Christians, killed 6 million Jewish people. And many Germans. I don't know any. We didn't know. You never meet a guy that was in World War II that was there. They said you could smell those death camps from miles away. You could smell rotting people. We didn't know. Who cares about the Jewish people? I want to say something, friend. It does matter what you believe. We'll talk a lot more in the future about Jewish people, probably on a Sunday night or in Sunday school, but I want to say this up front. Yeah, God has a future for Jewish people. Actually, God finds it easier to work with Jewish people than all the nations of the world, and as far as I know, there's only one Jewish person in this room, or partially Jewish. I don't know if she's 100% or not. I know her husband's 100% not. Number 4 in your notes. What is Jesus' reply? His reply, friend, is not that this is not going to happen. His reply is simply this. The timing wasn't and isn't our business. Would you do me a favor and read the verse with me, please? Acts 1:7. Read with me, please. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Friend, it's yes. We believe in a coming kingdom. When? I don't know. But it's all right for you and I to pray. How long? Don't you desire for righteousness to rule and reign on earth? Don't you desire that we don't have any little more turkeys up in North Korea that want to bomb us? May I say this? Some of our young guys here, you guys are young, and I love you. I never get mad at a young guy because I was stupid too. And by the way, weren't we all? Let's be just real ugly. When you're sitting here tonight very comfortable thinking about what mom and dad or grandma or somebody's going to make you for supper. John, how old are you? When my dad was 16, he was in World War II. How are you doing? Right now, we have a mess in the Middle East, yes or no? Right now we have, who knows what's going to happen in North Korea. We're dealing with a lunatic. Yes? See, you're real comfortable tonight. Some of you are retired. And God knows when you're retired, that means you do nothing. Well, some of you haven't figured, Duncan, you need to figure that out. Stop doing stuff. But may I say something? I think about these young two guys here. And there's another one back here, Russell. And your son that's in the Navy. And your daughter that's in the Navy. We don't know. Hey, we don't know what's going to happen. What if the idiot in North Korea decides to shoot off a bomb? You say, well, that'll never happen. It wouldn't with rational people. I want to say this to all of you. How long, O Lord? Aren't you ready for Jesus to rule and reign? In the meantime, we conclude with last point. I want you to turn to the front page and I want to review everything, the big points. Simply this. Number one, the kingdom will be restored to Israel. By the way, not just to the Jewish people, but of course to the Messiah. Yes? It actually is Jerusalem. Number two, next page. The kingdom has not yet been restored. Duh! How could we not know that? Friend, if this is the kingdom, I have people that say this. Oh, yeah, we're living in the kingdom. Jesus is ruling and reigning. Really? This is what Revelation's talking about? I don't think so. Number three, the time or timing of the restoration was the only question. Number four, the timing wasn't and isn't our business. Why? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Number five, we do have a business to occupy our time, which is, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Look at me and I'm done. You and I have a job right now to take the gospel. Where do we get the gospel from? Because we're Americans? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Friend, we got the gospel way back there in Genesis 12 when God said this to Abraham, and in your seed, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. And you go all the way through from Genesis 12, Genesis 18, Genesis 22, Genesis 26, Genesis 28. You go to Psalm 72. You go to Acts 3. You go to Galatians 3:8, and you still find the same thing. In his seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. You and I are saved because God included us in his salvation through a Jewish Messiah. But he also made some promises to the same people that they were going to have a land and Jesus was going to rule and reign from Jerusalem and he was going to establish his kingdom on earth. And may I say, I believe both promises, salvation and his kingdom. Father, thank you for your word. I know this is a lot of material for newer Christians, but all of us can start putting together the ideas and understand we read the Bible forward. We don't start someplace in the New Testament and ignore what we don't understand. And we're thankful that one day righteousness and peace will be our life. Can't wait till that day. How long, O Lord? Bless your word tonight, we ask, and we ask in Jesus' name.